listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to the show today, Your Ultimate Life. You know, one of the things I love to do is have interesting people on here to have different perspectives. And today, I've got a good guest, Dan Vega. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here, Kellen.
Yeah, you know, you were on a few months ago, and we had a good conversation there. And in between, we've chatted some and come up with some interesting topics. So grateful to have you back, and I'm sure everybody's going to have fun today with our convo.
Nice. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, so one of the things that I know about you, and I'd like you to talk a little bit about it, is you have a passion to educate, to help people learn, to get the principles and ideas that will help them take control of and change their life. Why is that such a passion, like, for you?
Well, a couple reasons. You know, I grew up in Los Angeles, as you know, and neither one of my parents had a lot of financial success. And, you know, just because of a random thing, I'm happen to be good at mathematics. That's kind of my background. And because of that, some really successful people, even some of the Forbes 400, they wanted to, like, take an interest in me, mentor me. And it was really all about the education. I was high school educated at the time. So they decided to impart this great gift in giving me this $1 million education. And so I never forgot that. You know, today we own a lot of companies. And so I think about that constantly, that there's so many people that were like me that never really would have had a chance to get that type of education and really connect with great mentors that could show them the way. And so I try to be as active as possible in giving back and doing that. And I mentor lots of, you know, at least 10 or 20 people a year. And of course, through our university, as you know, lots more than that. But I think it's important. And, you know, also too, the more success you have, at a certain point, it's like, why are we getting up every day? Is it for more money or legacy? So I always say, you know, as an investor myself, my ROI, especially the last 10 years, has gone from return on investment to largely return on impact. Some of the things we invest in, we might not see the returns financially for 30 years. And I don't even know if I'll be around being in my mid-50s, but it's the right thing to do for the world. And we got to pay it forward for sure.
So I want to ask a little bit about that word, the right thing. It's easy for you or me or, you know, us to say that, but the world is so full of strident noise and conversation about, you know, what's in it for me, WIIFM, and all the rest of that. What is it in your own personal heart that, because I know some of the things, at least, that you're involved in and how much effort you put in that. And I know you want to pay it forward because you had those blessings. But at some point, I'm curious, and I'd like you to talk a little bit about why it is so, what's in your heart that makes this a passion that gets you up every day to go out of your way, find people, help them, and do some of the real mentoring that you do, which is extensive.
You know, years ago, I remember a mentor telling me that, and I needed money at the time. I was still building and trying to figure out my finances. And he said that if your goal in life, if your number one priority is to drastically increase your situation, it's not really going to work. But if your objective every day is to add value to every single person you meet, then ironically, your situation is going to go through the roof and you're going to help a lot of other people. And so I've always just kind of had that. I think that part of it, just being totally honest, you know, I grew up in a tough situation. My father was an alcoholic and very abusive in many ways. And a good guy, but he had a lot of demons and PTSD and other things. And I think when you're raised in that environment as a child, you develop like a superhero complex, right? You want to buffer that from my mom and buffer, and you want everybody to get along and you want to save everybody, right? So from a kid, that's always been very much a part of my DNA is helping other people. But you know, now people in the office joke around with me. They say, you know, we'll see you close a big deal or do this or do that. And I'm like, eh. But then Wednesdays, I have a bunch of young people show up at my office and I can't wait to get to work to just pour into them. And when I see the expression on their face, or I see that light bulb moment where they're connecting the dots and I'm seeing the reactions to the new actions they're developing, that's just why we do what we do. So to me, it's like, you know, impacting somebody to the point where there's, you know, you're having some kind of pivot where there's now on a new trajectory towards long-term sustainable behavioral change. That's just what I get up for, honestly.
Well, you know, it's interesting because so many people, in fact, I would say universally, and I talk to a lot of folks between this, the podcast, and all kinds of places, it's a universal thing that when people overcome some kind of hardship or challenge, and as soon as they do that, at the same time, there arises this yearning to help others, to serve, to get rid of suffering, you know, to do something with that. And I think we're just built that way. We're built to love and serve each other.
Yeah, being from Southern Cal, I can't tell you. I used to do these health and wealth seminars. So I would be on the wealth side, and we'd have these either MDs or we would have these kind of Eastern healers and gurus, and we would do this show. It was phenomenal. But every healer, every kinesiologist, every Reiki person, every person that gets into energy work, every one of them I've ever met, they generally got into that field because they had a major crisis in their life, maybe a health crisis, and they had to figure out how to solve it. And they actually stumbled onto a solution. And then once it worked, they felt so compelled to share it with many others. They made it their whole focus and even how to make a living out of it. So I think that's when we find something that works and we're able to crawl out of, to your point, a tough situation, there is a compellingness that makes us want to, you know, share with
others. It is just one of the beautiful things about human nature, and there's lots of weird stuff and grumpy people, but that fundamental thing is true. So one of the things that's happened right now in the last few years, it isn't really right now, it feels like that to people that haven't been paying attention, but there's a rise of more technology and specifically AI. And, you know, we're hearing all kinds of stuff, legislation in Congress and the AI race with China or somebody, and everybody's worried about, you know, the singularity and all that sort of thing. But there's some practical things like the internet democratized information and AI is democratizing expertise. I want you to think out loud about, I think it's going to make some real fundamental changes very quickly, like in an insanely compressed time frame. So talk a little bit about that, would you?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that it's growing at the rate, and it's excelling at the rate that's a little scary. I think it's going to open up many, many more new frontiers, much more opportunity for many. But at the same time, there is a downside. You know, and I'm not one of those naysayers, but, you know, there is a lot of people that have certain skill sets that frankly are becoming obsolete. You think about robotics and AI and just even other software programs. One great, you know, breakthrough in robotics or AI, it can replace hundreds of jobs. And so on our education, you know, when I was a kid, our mom was like, hey, go to school, get a degree, or go to trade school, learn a trade, and then go get a good job. And that model worked, and probably becoming an entrepreneur, doing your own thing, was maybe the riskier way because companies had loyalty. But today, you know, if you gave somebody 20, 30 years, they'll retire you. Today, you can be 6 months from retirement and they'll cut you because they want to save on the benefits. And then now we have to also consider this new variable in the education that we're getting in. Is it preparing us for this new frontier, what the new world is going to be like, just in a matter of 2 years, right? And so that's something that we have to consider. But I think that there's going to be, right now, there's a lot of people making a lot of money. But I think at the same time, there's millions of people, especially, you know, 50 and up, that it's easy for us to start feeling a little bit antiquated, like we're dialed up in a high-speed world.
Yeah, dialed up in a high-speed world, exactly that. So, you know, in 2008, when they had the real estate crash, a lot of people were out of work and everything else. And when the economy began to recover, it had changed shape. Lots of the jobs that were not, you know, there before, they couldn't even find them. The job descriptions were gone and everything else. And this is 10 times that big and 10 times as fast. And so I know that you have a, with your passion for education and your passion for allowing people, giving people intentionally with mentorship and education, the opportunity to grow. Talk a little bit about alternatives, because our traditional education right now is somewhere between years and decades behind what it needs to be in terms of preparing people for a meaningful future, which is changing so fast, you know, it's left in the dust. So talk a little bit about alternative education, if you would.
Yeah, you know, I was literally just having a conversation with somebody 30 minutes ago on, they were asking, you know, how do you have so many companies, but they run the same with or without you? You can be an absentee owner and you don't have to be there. And part of it is the way that we train our people and also when we hire. And, you know, for me, I don't look so much anymore. I used to, but I don't look so much anymore about skill sets, right? They know how to do this. They have this degree. They know how to do that. If I need somebody in a very specific place, like a COO or a CFO, I need them to have those skills or degrees. But overall, I care more about natural characteristics and I care about, you know, different things that they excel at naturally, different attributes. So you give me somebody that's, you know, they're high integrity, you know, they're honest, hardworking people that are have an aptitude for learning. You know, it doesn't have to be take a test, you know, but it could be if I show you five times, you have it, right? They're malleable, good execution. I'll take that person every time over the person with this many degrees that's been sitting on Indeed for 6 months waiting for someone for a callback. And that's where our world is today is, in business and entrepreneurship, at least. It might be, it might not be the same in science or mathematics or other hard science fields, but in business in general, to run a company or find teach people how to create wealth, we just don't need a lot of skills. It's sometimes it's easier with a blank canvas. So what we really need is, you know, mentors. We need to have that time compression. We need to find, you know, somebody that will actually do an on the job kind of training. And show us how to navigate all the landmines that we might have gone through. And as you know, I spent years in the seminar business and had a lot of success. But in 2006, I said, well, wait a minute, what's the next step for me? How do I impact more people? And I started a university. It actually started off as a meetup group that the mayor said, can you help educate our city? And you could charge. I go, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm part of the community. So I just named it BLU, Business Leaders Unite. And then it grew so big, eventually it became a university. And now that obviously allows me to impact a much broader audience, not just in the United States, but many other countries as well.
So I want you to go into detail about Blue University. That's an interesting thing. Someone saw you, your propensity to mentor, the ability you have to help people and guide them, and your willingness to put your heart and soul in that, which is such a key piece of this. And they ask you to do that, Business Leaders Unite. Cool. I knew it was spelled BLU, but I wasn't sure I knew that name. So how did it morph into a, like, I've seen the website, and it's a real live university. Yeah. So I want you to talk about two things. How did it turn into that? And two, what is happening now? In other words, what's different? Why is it different? Why does it matter? How is it helpful in adapting to all this change we're talking about?
Yeah. So when I came up in business, I started off, you know, having these great mentors, but knowledge isn't expertise. Knowledge isn't wisdom. You have to put it into action. And so a mentor gave me good advice and he says, you need to start a company. So everything that you're learning can you can do the application side of it. And I suggest getting in the people business, learning sales, getting in direct sales. So I followed that. I became very successful in direct sales. I owned at one time about 42 franchises in medical equipment and other things. But I could only get to a certain level of income. And of course, not that I needed more income, but to have a massive impact, you need resources, right? So it was like, okay, I got to figure out how to change this. And while I was doing these, I went into the seminar business for about 15 years. And while I was in the seminar business, after one of the shows, somebody came up to me and they said, listen, we have a university and we'd like you to coach us. And at the time, you know, I grew up reading like Brian Tracy and Zig Ziglar and Tommy Hopkins and Les Brown. Those were my guys. But I was already in my early 30s and I was pretty much caught up to them, at least financially. And I'm like, I don't know where else I can go. But once I started with this university, I got a look under the hood. They were doing $300 million a year. They were impacting tens of thousands of people all over the world. And I thought, I can do this. That's going to be my next thing, is I'm going to start one for entrepreneurs and business leaders. And that's kind of where it spawned back in 06. And so the difference is, all of our instructors, everybody that we have as instructors, are either millionaires or billionaires. So these are people that have actually done it in the real world at the highest level. They're not teaching in theory, but they're teaching exactly what it takes to have financial freedom, and doing it in a way where we don't have to, sacrifice our integrity or ethics or our family time and time with the children, things like that. So we learned how to do it in a very efficient way. It's a 2-year program, and it's basically a lesson a week, and there's full course notes and quizzes you take so we can make sure you get the meat of it. Lots of free resources, downloadables, giving you all the tools. And it's not just a bunch of wealthy people saying, here's what we did and here's how to do it. All of our instructors, we get really involved with our students. There's live events that we put on for them. We get to know them. In many cases, we've secured funding for them. We funded their stuff, their ideas and their businesses, and help them get the leverage they need to go on and build large companies. Recently, we built a school in Nairobi, Kenya, a brick and mortar. And so we're having a lot of growth right now. And the other thing too is it's not a money grab. I was fortunate enough to already have a lot of financial success earlier in previous careers. So we wanted to make it also affordable that anybody could attend. And that's the other thing is we have, different testimonials from people that went to Harvard, Yale, MIT, Cambridge, you name it, saying, I learned more here in a few months than I learned in my 4-year degree. So we're very proud to put it out there. But again, giving anybody the opportunity to get in and putting the financial, entry point low enough that everybody should have a shot.
So there's several things there that intrigue me, and that one of them is the accessibility. So that's something that's really important. And again, you said that from the beginning because you received such opportunities. And the other thing is, what is it that, okay, people go to schools with big names, fancy places, and then they come and have an exposure to you, your curriculum, the teacher, the instructors, and the material that you teach, and they're finding that better. So talk a little bit more about, I learned more in 8 months than 4 years, or whatever the saying
Sure.
was. Tell me more about how come, like, what is it that makes that true? I'm not doubting it, but why is that true?
Yeah, I think, no doubt the education that's being received from these top 10 schools is high level and it's amazing, I'm sure. I don't want to take anything away from that. But those tend to teach you things in a hypothetical scenario and it's not real world application. The other thing is they teach you the what. Here's what you're doing wrong, or here's what you need to be doing. And they might give you pieces of the how, right? But in my experience, for people to be really successful, they need more than that. They need like a how for the how. So if you go to some seminar and you buy somebody's workshop and you buy a big program and you got a box of materials and you get home and you go, how do I even go about this, man? How do you eat an elephant, right? So with this, we try to break everything down from very high level concepts in business. We try to simplify that, and then we try to reverse engineer it into very actionable steps. Sometimes spoon feeding our students. It's like, listen, here's the next 5 things you need to do for your business, and when these are done, reach out to us, and we'll tell you the next 5 things. It's literally a step-by-step roadmap of what to do. And there's no blanket. It's not like here's a blanket thing for all of our students because some of them are young people that want to avoid taking on massive debt. Some of them are small business owners that might already be in the 6 or 7 figures and they're surviving well, but they're not thriving. And then some of them might be wealthy. They're already at the $5, $10 million range, but they want to get to 50 million. And so whatever the student is, that all looks different. That's different terrain. We have to have a different kind of plan for each one of those groups. And that's what we do. And that's where me and the other instructors have been, we've kind of vowed to say, look, whatever it takes for our students, we're going to get them across the line, give them the resources they need. But I think it's giving them the actual action steps in a very particular order so they can get the reaction that they're seeking.
So The thing that's really interesting to me about that is the clarity of the specific action steps, because every single person listening now or that might listen tomorrow or the next day has been to a place where somebody paints a grandiose picture and says, you know, this is all possible, and then even says, and this is how you do it, and you sit there all excited in the moment under the ether, and then in 5 minutes or tomorrow or whatever, it's a confusing mess, and life takes over, and it doesn't do any good. And so what you've called the how of the how, to me, is a good description and a powerful offering. And the collection of people that you have that are committed to doing that, that is impressive, to say the least. So thank you for sharing that. If someone wants to find out more about this unmatched, I would say, opportunity, like I'm not aware of, and I'm not trying to say, you know, blow smoke, but I'm not aware of any other institution that is structured like this with this much heart and this much accessibility. So how do we find out about that if one or two or 10 or 1,000 people hear this and say, I don't believe you, but I want to check it out anyway. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, sure. They can go on BLU, blue.university, so BLU.university, and check out the website. I think on the About Us page, there's a 6-minute video. It talks a little bit about the difference between traditional universities and what BLU does. But we're about results. You know, if you take a company that has, let's say they're making $1 million a year in top line revenue and they want to go to 10 million, that's not, it's difficult, but it's not extremely difficult because the million already has power behind it, right? Or they're a $10 million company, they want to be a $100 million company. There's a lot of power behind $10 million that you can implement a lot of strategies. But how do you take somebody that's a minimum wage worker, 10, 15 bucks an hour, and make them a millionaire? That is a different roadmap. It's very different. And that's what we've been able to do, is take people from, you know, bussing tables or, you know, working in retail, whatever, and they come in and they're able to put the plan together. And in many cases, they don't even know what to pair it with in terms of vehicle. They don't have the opportunity. And then we'll share and say, look, here's several opportunities that come our way. This might be a good one that suits your personality. So like I said, we do get very hands-on, and you know, we're just results driven. That's what we want, is we want to see the results.
So it's not just a university, because no university that I know or have attended has, I mean, you have office hours and some teachers that care more than others, but the way you've described it, it is part incubator, part university, yeah, part intentional mentoring, and literally groundbreaking offering that really can make a huge difference.
Yeah, I just had a student reach out and says, I'm not far from where you are. If I come in town, can I get some personal time? We spent a half a day together. He brought his business plan. I spent 2 hours going through it and redrawing it out and mapping the whole thing for him, and then gave him 3 or 4 contacts that he didn't have yet. So we also open up the Rolodex. We share our contacts, and you know, we're pretty passionate about getting these students where they need to go. And many of them are just trying to take care of their families. Many of them are trying to create real wealth, but it's not for the purpose of materialistic pursuits. And, you know, it's for the purpose of, you know, taking care of their families or funding a larger impact. You know, these people, they want to do something great in the world. And that's why I admire, especially the young people right now. They really have heart of like, I don't want to just do something for a paycheck. I want to do something great in the world. And those are the types of people we tend to gravitate towards.
You know, it's interesting just watching your face as you talk, because the level of excitement and energy that you have when you talk about them, those people, the young people that you're mentoring, the 10 to 20 that you do every year, and the level of involvement you have, it's fun. It's fun to watch the energy that comes out of you when you talk about those people. So that's amazing.
Thank you.
You're just absolutely welcome. So I want to back up and talk a little bit about AI or the automation and the rise of, you know, this, the ability to do things. You're right. It's going to create all kinds of opportunities, and it's going to completely, dramatically change the face of work and what we do and what we don't do and what we have to do and what we don't have to do. What would you say to somebody that's scared to death, that finds themselves in a situation where they don't know exactly what to do, and they see this coming, and their inclination might be to bury their head in the sand. Like, you know, they hear about it, and then it's like, oh, crap, please not me. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, being reactive instead of proactive is never a good strategy. I have a lot of friends that are in their 60s or even older, and they're like, oh, that AI thing. And there's the same thing with crypto, you know, oh, that stuff is not. I'm like, look, man, you believe it or don't believe it, it's here to stay. You know, our country accepts more than one currency now. And when it comes to AI, this is the future. And whether you believe it or not, it's not going to change anything. So I think that we have to at least have a basic knowledge. We don't have to get into AI and become these tech experts. We have a basic knowledge of at least what to ask and how to maybe integrate somebody part-time in our business that can bring these things. Look, it's kind of like we have like these high-speed bullet trains now that go 300-400 miles an hour or a jet airplane, but we're choosing to take a horse and buggy from Florida all the way to you in California. That's kind of what we're dealing with now. So if we're used to horse and buggy, that's fine. But I promise you, if you hired a part-time person that was very, you know, well-adversed in AI, they could probably cut down 90% of all your admin stuff and show you lots of other ways to increase sales, leads, all these other things. We have to get involved.
Are there things that you are adding or have added to the curriculum in the university that sort of roll with the punches as this kind of stuff gets more and more mainstream?
We do. You know, it's such a personal thing where people are saying, look, here's my situation. And if they basically are saying, if you were me, what would you do to create wealth? So it's very custom. And so we have AI that if we're not available, let's say at night or certain time zones, they can ask questions. And it's basically myself and all the other instructors combined where it's going to answer and give them the right information. But we don't solely rely on that. We respond to the emails, we get involved, because they need more than just the education. They need, like I said, the action steps. Sometimes they need 4 or 5 contacts that they currently don't have, so we want to make those introductions for them. And there's probably a way to get AI to do all of that, but honestly, I like to be involved. I like to be in the trenches with them. It's part of what I get out of it, too.
Love that. So I'm going to shift gears completely. I know that I heard you were just busy writing another movie.
Yeah.
Talk about the movies. You have a couple, one or two or maybe more than that, that you have been involved in, that you've made, that you've written. And I'm going there because, you know, we've talked about business and sales and all these sort of things. And I want to broaden this out into a little broader picture of creativity and your involvement in lots of different things. So talk a bit about that.
Yeah, so I've had some television experience in front of the camera and some behind, and I've written on some shows, but I've never really ventured into films. And before COVID, I had an idea for a feature film, like a sci-fi thriller, much along the lines of like if you've ever seen The Village or The Strange or The Quiet Place. So it's not horror. This is more family appropriate, but scary. And it's called The Strange. And so I wrote it. We converted it into a screenplay. COVID happened. You don't know if these things are going to get made or not. But we actually did wind up getting the funding, getting the film made. We just shot that in December of last year. And I just saw a trailer like a couple days ago. And 90% of the film is edited where there's 10% left. So I should have the whole thing on my hands maybe in 2 weeks. And we're looking to premiere, do a Hollywood premiere sometime either November or December. We're planning that now. So we had some stars like, you know, Eric Roberts and Dee Wallace, that was the mom from E.T. and Cujo. And she's kind of titled the Queen of Scream. She does very well in the movies. And they both are like, please write the sequel. So I've been working on that. But I just finished another movie, very different, more of a romantic comedy, about a family that they're billionaires and their son is kind of just burnout, 30-year-old that's just not motivated in life. And he meets somebody at a coffee shop and lots of things change. It's funny, but there's dramatic scenes in it. There's lots of real wealth tips in there as well, and very entertaining. So we're very happy about that. We look to shoot that movie sometime towards the end of the year as well, probably late October. So, people ask what I do all the time. And in short, the main thing is I'm an investor, but I'm really a passion and impact investor. Of course, we want to make money and we don't want to purposely lose money, but we're really focusing now at this time of our life of investing in passion projects, having a little fun, and also things that are going to have a much broader impact for years to come, even if we don't see, big financial returns.
So the Strange is going to come out toward the end of this year, and that's the same time you're going to be shooting this other movie that's not the sequel, but
Right.
it's this other movie about, that's a funny setup, a billionaire with a 30-year-old failure to launch guy, right? Anyway, well, that's exciting.
Yeah,
The
we're
other,
excited.
no, keep going. What?
I was just going to say we're very excited. I've been working on it every day. I actually wrote the majority of it on an airplane with my partner, Nikki Nash. We're sitting on a plane and I just said, let's write a movie. And it just started. I don't know what happened. It was like I was plugged into something. And we just wrote about 80% of it on the airplane. And we've been refining the rest. And you always think your own stuff's good. So I know I have a lot of friends in Hollywood, actors and producers. I'll always send it out and say, look, if this is crap, please tell me, right? If I'm delusional. But we've actually been getting really good response saying, no, you need to make this. So we're very excited.
Well, that's just so exciting. I may be getting out of school here, but I heard a rumor that there was another music project that you were working on, too.
I don't know how you're hearing about it. So,
I got ears everywhere, man.
oh my gosh. So, what's funny is music is such a big part of my life. And as I have a condition called synesthesia. And to me, music isn't something that I love. It's necessary. It's almost like a partnership that I've made with it to even function. And it's just such a big part of my life. And if I didn't fall into the mentors of kind of where I am now, I would have probably tried to pursue a full-time career in music. And so it's one of those passion things, right? And so kind of similar the other day, I said, you know what? I'm going to do an album. And I'm going to start with one song to see how it goes, get my toe in the water. And I wrote a song that's called The Entrepreneur's Anthem. And I think every entrepreneur and business leader hopefully will embrace this. It's really good. So I'll be sharing lyrics with you really, really soon. I actually called a mutual friend of ours, Glenn Toby, who is in the Hip Hop Hall of Fame, and he was one of the godfathers of, and I said, I need some beats. And he's in the studio as we speak, working that out for me. And then I'll be heading to Atlanta in the next 2 weeks to lay the tracks down. So I'm excited. I can't
All right.
believe
Well,
you knew about that.
what's that?
I said, I can't believe you knew about that.
I do know about that. And I knew that you had asked Glenn to do something about it. What kind of beat is it? Is it going to be hip hop stuff or R&B, or is it what kind of a beat is it going to be?
I'm more of a like alternative new wave Southern Cal guy. I listen
Yeah.
to a little bit of the hip hop stuff like working out, but actually it is a little bit more hip hop,
Yeah.
honestly. And it's good, man. I all my people in my office were dogging me saying, what are you doing? They're making fun of me in a nice way. And then I gave them the lyrics and they're like, oh, we got to do this. So now everybody's on board and we're hoping it'll hit. Hope it resonates with a lot of people.
It's going to be fun at a minimum, and I'm sure it'll be exciting and good for those that hear it. So you said something about music, and you said earlier in the show about mathematics, and there's a high correlation between mathematical ability and musical ability, and there's a big relationship with that, and so maybe there's some connection there with you because you do have some extraordinary mathematical skills, and so I'm not surprised at all that you've got a music itch that you describe's got to be part of life, or you can't function that well.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully.
So tell me, I mean, I don't know if there's anything else, but tell me what else is going on besides. So you maybe nothing because that's a full plate. So you've got a song, this first part of an album. You've got a premiere movie coming out. You've got another one you're working on. A third one in the. In the wings out there somewhere. Is there anything else that we need to know about this
All right.
person that just sits there and doesn't do much?
I'll tell you, there's actually is another thing. And again, I'm in this weird, my wife thinks I'm having a midlife crisis, but I have these itches I've always wanted to do. And I just came out with my own suit line. I should have the first two suits to sample probably this week. And I'm going to roll it out. There's a suit called a Briani suit that can be as high as $17,000. They're very, very expensive custom made suits. I wanted the same fabric. I wanted really, really elegant, classy cuts. I wanted to pick the fabrics, really cool liners. But I wanted to do it at a very affordable price for business people that anybody can afford. And so I, after a long search, I found the right partnership. And I'm very excited about it. And the name of the suit will be called The Bellwether, which, as you know, is not only means trend setter, but trend predictor. It's the lead sheep with the bell that everybody follows.
Right.
Very affordable. This will probably be comparable or even a little less than something you'd find at Men's Warehouse. And we're talking quality of like a Briani.
Holy
so,
cow.
Armani and other things. So.
Yeah. Well, then I'm almost afraid to ask, but are there any more things in the closet we should know about? No pun intended.
Well, you got to keep a couple things in the closet.
All right. You can keep a couple in the closet. So I want you to tell me, if you think about the last, say, the first part of this year up to now, you meet a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you have the opportunity to add good to the world in crazy numbers of ways that you've described. And you describe yourself as being very fortunate. And I wouldn't disagree with that. You've had, you know, lots of opportunities. But what I know about you is that you take advantage of them. You see them and you say yes, and you take find the connections and you take moves to make them happen. So if you think about this first part of the year, what's the most interesting or unexpected thing, or maybe not the most, but something interesting and unexpected that showed up for you in this first half of the year that it's like, I can't believe this happened?
So I've actually, just because of putting out valuable content, so I've never been a social media person. It just never has to be part of my plan. And I'm laying some groundwork for, like, I'm passing the keys, right? So people are now, I'm mentoring people to start taking some things over. And so I agreed to do one post a day on different social media platforms. And I try to do my best. You know, I'm not any professional influencer or anything, but I've been doing it about a month or so, and maybe a little longer. And the things that have come out of that, I've done several big collaborations with some very successful people. And even before that, I would do these, like, these regional smaller things just for the audience. As you know, I don't do anything to the public anymore. It's just different companies. But I'll once in a while, I'll do something for friends and their friends. And I'll say, let's put, you know, 50 people in a room and let me give them a free day of education. And if they need contacts or opportunity, whatever, I'll tell them where to go and what to do. There's no pitch. There's no thing that I sell. It's just something that I do for communities. I started that in January. And again, I think that if our goal, you know, and I know you can relate to this having multiple radio shows and podcasts, you know, in the seminar business, when you take the stage, I remember people pacing back and forth behind the stage, say, like, getting ready. And I say, what do you want to do? I just want to kill it, man. I just got to kill it. And I was like, how's that about the audience? My goal was always, and this is something I learned, is when I go out on a show like this, or I go out on a stage, my only thought is, how do I impart a gift? Like, that's what I want to do. And the same with social or these events that I started in January is, how do I just reach people and just impart a gift to them? And if something comes out of it monetarily, that's fine. But I'm not going to try to even really ask or have some kind of pitch. I don't need that. I'm just going to really deliver value. And what we realize is, if we just keep giving really good value, people will seek you out. And a lot of them are going to want to either hire you or collaborate with you. So it's been pretty surprising what you know, just a few hours a month of doing these little events for the, you know, to give back or post a day, what has been able to come out of it. But I think that's what happens when you focus on trying to provide value. And hopefully I'm doing some measure of that.
You know, you are. And I have to say, I've seen, as you started doing some socials, I've seen some of the posts. And so I knew that you'd started doing that. So I know that you have, a family, and you spend a lot of time discussing how you mentor others and how that's a big part of your give back and your desire to do that for many people. And I know you're private too, and you mentioned that your wife thinks you're crazy. Talk a little bit about mentoring, loving, creating, that's behind the scenes. It's important to you with your family, with your son, so that people, I want people to have a flavor of, you know, that part of you.
Yeah, sure. You know, me and my wife, we have, I don't, to this day, honestly, Colin, I'm not sure if she knows exactly what I do for a living. She knows that I'm involved with some big companies and we own companies, but I made a rule a long time ago. And remember, I don't know if you know this, but I met my wife because one of my companies hired her out of the newspaper a year out of high school. And so I'm about 9 years older than her. And we weren't involved or anything. I was seeing somebody. But over time, we got to know each other and each other's qualities. And that's how we met. So I'm like, look, I would prefer that you take care of, you know, I'm not like old school barefoot and pregnant. I'm just saying, take care. If you don't want to work, you don't have to work. And that's what I would prefer. But if you feel like you want to, that's fine. But I'm a handful, so I'm going to have your hands full. But we don't talk about business. I don't come home and say, here's what I did and here's what I met. And that allows me to kind of downshift because I live just like yourself, a very fast-paced, high-geared life. And then when I come home and walk through the doors, it doesn't matter what I've done or how big of a deal I've closed. And I say, hey, if I did share, she'd be like, that's great. I'm so proud. So anyways, are you going to be home for dinner? Like, we have a very normal thing. And that's what I like, is to come home and just downshift and be a father and a husband. And so she really supports me in that way. She doesn't come to a lot of my live events or anything because we like that. It works for me. We like that separation. Now, anything I say I want to accomplish in life, she's a great cheerleader. Like, hey, I don't know all the metrics of it or how you're going to do it, but I know you can do it if you want to do it. Like, she's not a naysayer. And so fortunately, I don't have to work against something like that. The other thing that's really one of my biggest thoughts when it comes to my son, Julian, you know, when he was very young, I was doing a television show on ABC and we had a pretty weird life. And so it was very normal for him from an early age for actors to come to the home and stay with us. And he wants to play baseball. Baseball players are coming over to the house. Did you want to play baseball? And I remember having a talk with my wife saying, look, we don't want this kid screwed up. We need to create a normalcy and to really try to introduce barriers and resistance for him as well and to have a normal thing. So we live a pretty simple life. We try to set a good example because, as we both know, kids don't do what you tell them to do. They do what they observe. And so we're very...
Of course.
Yeah.
So I want to go into that a little bit because so many people, there's this myth that, you know, hard work, 90 hours a week, grind. My brother was an attorney, went to, you know, graduated from UC Berkeley, went to school, went to work for a law firm and 1,000-hour weeks and everything else for, you know, that whole myth. And yet you're describing success. You're describing an ability, a true and real ability to create normalcy out of that. And one of the premises of this whole show, Ultimate Life, is that you, me, anybody listening, you can create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy that isn't frantic, that isn't two-faced, that isn't anything negative. You can actually create that. And everything that you've described is that. And I want you to talk about that just in terms of assuring people this is a possibility, but you have to do that. And so talk a little bit about that real separation. You have one life and you're able to do it in that balanced way.
Yeah. Well, if you think about like Leonardo da Vinci, and if you read what his life was about, he lived about 20 lives in about 67 years or whatever. And the key to that is morning routine. Mark Cuban has commented on this. Elon Musk, if you look at how many things he's doing, the first 60 to 90 minutes of the day sways the day into a win or a loss. And, you know, I always liken this. I was talking about this last night with a group of people. If we remember the Marvel character Hulk, right? And David Banner, I'm like, David Banner's weak. I don't want to work with David Banner. That guy.
It's Bruce.
Or Bruce Banner. Yeah, Bruce Banner. He's a smart guy. He understands gamma rays, whatever. But if he's Hulk, you can smash a city in an hour, right? And so what's the morning routine? What's that very conducive routine that's going to get you to go green? In other words, what am I feeding that I want to grow? Is it spiritual person? I want to maybe read the scriptures or other things, meditation, yoga, get my body moving for 30 minutes, eat healthy, feed on business strategies, whatever. What's that morning routine that's going to get me to kind of hulk out? Because if you do that, then you don't need to work 10 hours a day or even 8 hours a day. You can do anything you want to do in 5 hours or less. So if we're currently working 8 or 10 hours, put a 60 to 90 minute really conducive, like success morning routine. You'll shave 3 hours out of your day and you'll get to enjoy a lot of personal time and personal care. And I think that's what we're all doing. We do lots of things simultaneously because we have organized thoughts, because we take most of the, you know, successful people, we have a rule to take 3 hours a day of personal time and personal care. And so we have time to kind of really work methodically and organize to do many things at once. And you're right, though. Today in business, you see all the people on the block, all the influencers, they're wearing that badge of honor, like 80 hours a week, go hard, grind. I believe in a great work ethic, but anything that I was going to try to do in 8 or 10 hours, if you give me a really good hour morning routine and get organized, I can do it in 5 every time.
One of the interesting things that when I talk to people about meditation and morning routines and stuff, and I tell them, you know, I take a long time to do mine, a couple hours, and they say, oh, I don't have time for that. And the absolute promise is if you do it, it will save you 4. It actually creates time, which is what you're
probably
saying.
100% more. Yeah. You spend 2 hours, you'll get 4 or 5 back. Easy.
And the answer, why they say why, it's because you're more focused, less mistakes, more no dithering, you're clear. I mean, all of that stuff happens, and so you're like, things just get done at an unbelievable speed.
Yeah, and probably that early morning routine, you've pushed a lot of the busy nonsense work off your plate because you've had a chance to say, I don't need to do that, somebody else could do that. So we're focused on the stuff that's actually moving the needle, Pareto principle.
That's fabulous. So I want to give you a chance to say anything else. What didn't I ask you about? What ideas have been on your mind lately, whether it's about the change in the world because of automation and AI, whether it's about alternative education, anything that you feel like, dang, I'm going to wish I said that.
Yeah.
The floor is open. So what else?
Right. Well, thank you. And first, I want to say, you know, I have a lot of very successful friends, and it always surprises me that how caught up they are on different conditions around the world. Like, I care about people. I care about what's going on in Israel, and I care about these things. But at the same time, I don't speculate on things that may or may not happen, laws that may or may not change, disadvantages that I may or may not experience because of this or that. Here's what when you look at world conditions, and if you watch the news all the time, you could get pretty pessimistic and saying, oh my God, the whole thing's going to hell in a handbasket, and I don't know if we're going to be okay. But here's really the fact. I don't think about external factors in that way. And people ask me all the time, Dan, what do you think about this or this president or this law or this going on and the tariffs? What do you think? And I just thought, external factors don't affect me. And they're like, what? How do you? Because here's what I know. Successful people will always figure out a way to thrive. So if I wake up some morning and there's a giant boulder obstructing my view and I'm like, I can't, then I'll pivot. And I trust myself that I will figure it out then, but I'm not going to waste all these years and hours focusing on something that hasn't even happened. I'm just going to move on and try to protect my family, make money, but more importantly, make impact. And, I don't worry about the external stuff. And I was also thinking a lot, Kellen, about your show and what can I do to really add value. And I don't know if you'll allow me to do this or not, but there's this booklet called The Great Shift. And it talks about right now we're living in such exciting times because there's tens of trillions of dollars that are handed off right now from the baby boomers to Generation X. And the opportunity right now for X and especially millennials, it's phenomenal. And then how our education system is changing. What do we need to know, even if we're over 50 or 60, what do we need to know moving forward? And there's a book called The Great Shift. You can't buy it in stores. There's no ISBN number. It's written by it's for the 1% or people that want to be in the 1% and protect themselves and thrive. But it's written by people that have been actually in the top thousands of 1% income wise. So somebody has to give you a copy. And that's really the first step in creating real wealth or generational wealth, because it's going to teach us some profound lessons that we probably are contrary to what we've been taught. And, if you'll allow me, I'd like to give a free copy to everybody listening. I emailed you the link. I don't know if you have it. You can drop it in the chat. And they can also go to dan@blueuniversity.com. That's dan@bluuniversity.com.
That's a gracious gift. And anybody listening, if you have any sense at all, go get it. Because he knows what he's talking about. I'm going to. And I know he emailed it to me, but I'm going to go get it. All right. Dan, I want to thank you for showing up today, for having fun with me, and for sharing all the good stuff that you.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Kellen. Thanks for having me back. And it was such a great honor to share the stage with you in San Diego a couple of weeks ago. That was amazing, man. Thank you for everything that you do and the impact that you're making.
All right. Well, thank you, Dan. I want you to take time to listen to this again. And dan@blueuniversity.com, dan@blueuniversity, B-L-U, blueuniversity.com. And get that book, The Big Shift, or The Great Shift. I forgot what it was. But anyway, go get it. Reach out and, say you heard it on this show and you want that book, because it will change your life. And if you follow up on the stuff you learned tonight, you'll be way, way many steps ahead in creating your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.